Hey, and welcome to Melanin Mode, a podcast for women of color by a woman of color. I'm Sydney, your host, and I'm ready to get real about blessings, BS, and brilliance of being us. Let's get started. Hello, hello, hello. So I'm so excited today because I'm talking about a topic that I am incredibly passionate about. I mean, that's pretty much every topic on here, but today is like my wheelhouse. It's conversations that I've been having lately. It's what I've been seeing online. And I just want to talk about duality. But before I talk about duality, I have to talk about why this is coming up. So, for most, probably women of color, period, but like I'm a black woman, so I'm coming from my own experience. We've been told all our life, oh, you're so strong. Oh, be strong. Don't let them see you cry. Nah, nah, nah. And you're just like, okay. And so you walk through life, never letting people see you cry. It's never explained, like, why I never shed a tear, da 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 da. I just think it's a generational thing where our parents were taught to say those things, and so they pass it on to us, not knowing and not realizing how damaging it is. But we're getting to the point now where a lot of us, and the millennial generation and the generations after us, are very aware of some of the statements, of some of the ideals and, like, you know, culture that we grew up in, like, how damaging it actually was. And I'm not saying that women of color are not strong, that black women especially are not strong, and I'm saying especially because this is the only experience that I obviously can pull from. It's my own. But that we really have to stop thinking that's the only compliment we can give women of color. Oh, you're so strong, you've been through so much. I mean, yeah. Yeah, but why is that the first thing that you think about, is how strong I am? Now I've overcome so much. You don't think I was more well off? You don't think that I've had certain privileges in my life? You just assume that, like, everything has been hard for me my entire life? Which, like, to a degree, yes, of course. Like, things have been are harder for women of color, period. Because we're not just being oppressed by our white counterparts. And not all of them, but, you know, I'm just generalizing. Like, you know, that's not something, that's not the only thing that we're going through. You know, we also have to deal with the men in our lives. And having to look a certain way. Or having to talk a certain way. Or having to act a certain way. Because we're not the ideal woman if we are not, like, the stereotype that men in our cultures seem to think that we should be. I don't have time. So, like, I feel like that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. It's about how, honest to goodness, I feel like, and, you know, we've heard the statement before, that black women are, like, the most disrespected people in this, not even in this country, in this world. Like, some of the stuff that we've been through, like, to hear it and to imagine having to go through it. Oop. Oh, you're about to knock everything over, y'all. It's insanity to think that it's, like, a reality for so many black women. And I, like, you know, collectively, we just want to take off black women and be like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel your emotion. Tell people to shut up when they tell you that. Don't tell your parents to do that. I know that's, like, a whole don't do that. But it's a thing of, that would be when I would start asking questions. Why? Like, why do I have to be so strong? Why can't I cry in this situation? Like, I understand, like, at work, like, you may not necessarily want people to see you cry, because then people think because you're showing emotion that somehow you're unable to do the work or unable to take any criticism. I was crying at work the other day. But did anybody see me? No. I was going through something personally and was thankful that nobody was around me when it happened. Because I definitely was on the bathroom. I was at my desk. I don't care. If somebody would have came up and asked me, I'd be like, no, it's personal stuff. But I was still getting work done. So, like, crying did not stop me from doing my job. Period. And I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody, because I'm high functioning. Like, even when I was really down and deep in my depression, I'm a very high functioning person. I could be having the worst weekend. Most people wouldn't be able to tell, because that's just how I operate. That's just how my mind works. That's how I tend to deal with things. It's not that I'm not acknowledging it. A lot of it, I'm acknowledging separately on my own in my own time, but there's still stuff that has to be done. And that could also be from having to grow up and everything. But yeah, but the problem that comes with being high functioning is that people immediately think that you're so strong, like I could never do that. And it's like, no, you just cope with it differently. Like, this is how I process things, and this is how it works for me, and this is how there are ways that it affects me that does not affect you, or vice versa. And like, it's not gonna look the same from person to person, and I'm not gonna sit here and judge you because you don't function the same way I do when you're in that state. Let's get that like together now. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, I don't understand why you can't do this, it's not that hard. No. Like, I have to remind people that I understand where you're coming from a mental health perspective. If you tell me, like, honestly what is going on, it doesn't have to be full details. It could be just what your diagnosis is. It could be just us having an honest conversation about what you've been going through. And, like, maybe deciphering it together. I'm not a therapist. But, like, people feel comfortable talking to me about those things. But I'm never gonna take whatever you told me and, like, judge you for it. If that makes sense. Like, I'm never gonna take your pain and your hurt and like your mental illness and try to throw it back in your face. I think that's like the worst thing you could ever do to somebody, because you're just reinforcing the idea that they're really alone in this, and it's not true at all. So, which is why I had to, and you're like, why are you talking about mental health when we're talking about duality? Because part of the problem is that within, especially within the Black community, but I just think for all women of color, it's that we don't like talk about our mental health. At least when we were growing up, we didn't. You know, now it's getting like way more common for us to address it in TV shows and like films and amongst friends and talk about a therapist online and all this stuff. But back when I was growing up, that's not something we talked about. And it was more like you pray it away, basically. And I know a lot of people have heard that. And so it reinforces the idea that you have to be strong. Nobody can see this, and if you're feeling that way, that means you're not praying enough, or you're, like, you know, if you worry too much, you're not praying enough. And I'm like, but prayer without action, but faith without action. I will say that until my dying breath, y'all. Faith without action is dead to me. It's dead, period, but it's definitely dead to me. Like, don't sit here and be like, let's pray for them, and then take no action. I'm sorry. Have you read the word? Like, I'm sorry. Excuse me? Is there just one section you're reading over the other and just not acknowledging anything else? Because faith takes work. It is work. Faith takes work. And it's not about taking strength, because a lot of times, in the moments of faith where our faith is tested, we have to be vulnerable. We have to feel those emotions. We have to be able to discern our emotions and understand, like, these are feelings, they're not necessarily facts, and this is our perception versus our reality. Yeah, so I'm gonna say that right now. Like, do not spit the words, we'll pray it away. Mm-mm. I will pray for you. I have no qualms about that. I will pray for you, and I will hope, but I will also have hard conversations with you if that's what you want. I will also, like, do, like, my sage that I was doing this morning and, like, try to cleanse the energy in the room, excuse me. And, you know, I'll be like, here are some resources and all that stuff. Like, I don't have a problem doing stuff like that. And I don't understand the concept that you would sit there and sit back and say, well, I'm going to pray for these people, but these people need money. They need resources. I am, of course, talking about the events that happened in Lebanon. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've been on the internet and have seen my posts, I'm going to make it a highlight today because I want everybody to donate, because I donated. Like, this is a tight budget. Like, these last 2 weeks have been very tight on my budget because I'm trying to catch up. Not necessarily catch up on bills because I'm ahead, but, you know, like, I don't have, like, tons and tons of money to donate, but I still donate because I understand that if I donate and I challenge all the people around me to donate, and then they challenge all the people around them, we are much closer to reaching our goal, because money is a tool. It's not evil. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other episode, but it's not a, don't do that. It's not evil. It's not evil. It's a powerful tool, but it's not evil. The people who use it for that purpose I'm not saying they're evil per se, but I'm just saying that it can be used for evil. I'll say it that way. Because I'm going to sit here and judge people. I may not agree with their actions, but whatever, that's not, like, we all know who I'm talking about, so we're just not going to go there. But I have a hard time seeing the comments on, like, Instagram posts, like, after you post a story. And I'm guilty of this, too. I was doing this a lot, and I had to realize that, like, I was playing in the trope, too, and I hate doing that. And if I tell somebody that they're strong after they, like, share their story, it's mostly because that's what most people almost want to hear. Like, I overcame this, and I'm so strong for overcoming this. If it's, like, a, you know, a redemption story or, like, a revelation, and they've come out on the other end. But I don't want people who are still going through it to think that they're not strong. And I don't want us to think that women of color, like, all we can ever be as strong as somebody is be the backbone of our families, is to be homemakers and businesswomen and wives and mothers. And I could really go on with this list, y'all. I feel like when we're constantly told that we literally have to do it all, like, if we're not, and if we're not doing it all, we feel less than, because some, like, another woman will be doing more than what we're doing, and so we try to push ourselves, even though our all is going to look different from hers, based on what resources we have, based on the time that she has, based on the money she's making. There's, like, too many resources for us to, like, sit here and compare ourselves. There's too many differences in everybody's lives for us to sit here and compare ourselves at how much further somebody else is, because I could be really bitter about where all of these people in my life, all of my friends and my soul sisters and my girls all over the world that are, like, much further than me, and they started where I started, but I'm not, because no. Also, because what does that serve me? Why? My purpose in life that God gave me does not look the same as theirs. I know it doesn't. I have seen visions. I have prayed on. I've written those visions down. I know my visions are absolute insanity. If I were to lay out every single one to anybody else that was not God, and, like, and I'm talking about, like, every single one to the same person, people would think I was crazy. And I happily admit to people all the time that I'm crazy. I'm like, yeah, no, it takes a certain type of crazy to do what I'm trying to do. Like, you know. And I happily have conversations with God about that. Like, yeah, no, it takes a certain type of crazy. But I never want people to go, oh, she's so strong for being able to do all of this. No. God is strong for giving me the energy to do this, because I don't know that I could do this on my own. And I have people in my life that are able to support me when I'm, like, really in the depths of what I'm doing and how I'm living out my purpose. But there are days when I want to quit, and there are days when I just want to cry in a corner. Not necessarily quit, but just cry because everything is coming all at once, or where I feel like I'm being pulled in many different directions because people want me to see them, and I'm like, you're not going to understand until I'm where God wants, like, where God wants me to be, where you can visually see it. You will not understand, and I can't explain it to you. And you'll think that I'm treating you some type of way, whatever. I don't have time to babysit your feelings right now. Like, I don't have the bandwidth. I tell people this all the time. I don't have the bandwidth to do this right now. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't appreciate you. But I legitimately don't have the bandwidth to deal with it right now. And it's not saying that people's emotions are less than, or that I care about them less or anything like that. But literally the way that, like, I have to move through something is gonna look like I don't care. It's gonna look like, oh, she's strong, but she's cold, and she's, you know, rigid. Because that's part of the problem. When we get told that we're strong, a lot of people associate that with, like, if they see a strong woman that is not married and does not have kids yet, they immediately assume that she's cold or there's something wrong with her. And if we see strong women that are building, you know, homes and building their family and taking care of everybody in their family, we immediately go, well, I don't understand why she does it. She never has time to resolve. She's never going to find this and this because she's always with her family. There's always some kind of caveat when you call somebody strong, even if you're not realizing it. There is something that you are playing into, and that is my problem with that term, is that there is something, some kind of BS you're playing into when all you say is, oh, you're so strong, and you leave it at that. And I'm like, but yeah, but I'm not. You don't have to, like, I'm not to the sense of, like, that's not all that I am. I need us to get out of the concept of just telling people constantly that they're one thing. To me, especially women of color, I'm sorry. Like, I take care of my household, and I'm the breadwinner. Like, I make the most money in this household. There are four of us. And I'm not the oldest, I'm not the youngest, but I know I make the most money in the household, and I've had probably the most unconventional career journey of my life compared to everybody else. Because to me, to a lot of people looking at my resume, I know that it looks like very crazy, and most people would think I would have ended up in customer service for a very long time because I was in customer service for a long time, but I started out somewhere because of certain things and certain purposes that I had at that time. And then that purpose would change, or that dream would change. And so I would try to maneuver my way into other career paths. So it doesn't look that wild, but it's just wild to me. Like, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to recognize that there's duality in everything. Not just, oh, she's so strong, but she's also soft. Like, oh, I love that. I love that women of color, anybody, even men, can be strong and soft. Like, he could look tough and buff, and I'm gonna talk about my dad because this is how he is. He is, when people see him, they automatically assume that they should be afraid of him because of the way that my dad looks. He's a muscular guy. He's been in the gym like my entire life. Like, he was in the military, but like, the gym is his thing. Like, he thrives as a personal trainer, and he thrives, like, you know, being at the gym early in the morning. And I think that for him, like, it's like a mental, that's his self-care, is going to the gym on certain days. And certain days he will take off. Like, he understands that, like, he'll have rest days, he'll, what he calls cheat days for, like, his meals and stuff like that. But I also remember my dad being the person at funerals that, like, I have seen him openly cry. And I don't know how many people would say that about their fathers at funerals. Or, like, and that's, like, a sad time. And you think, oh, yeah, people at funerals, like, yeah, I get to crying, but I remember, and I, like, I just, it's very vivid in my mind, and I remember my brother growing up, and I remember every time that my dad left the country or left us to go somewhere else, that he would cry when he was younger, and my dad never stopped him from crying, my mom never stopped him. I remember my mom and I dropping my brother off at college with my dad, and my dad and my brother, like, crying, and me, like, tearing up, because I'm like, oh, because I can't see people cry, y'all. I start crying. It's a whole thing. But, and my mom being like, oh my gosh, why are y'all like this? And she was joking. She was being funny about it, because we pick on each other. Like, we all pick on each other. We're all a bunch of smart asses in the family and stuff. And so, but she was like, oh, blubber. And I was like, first of all, I teared up. I did not blubber, because they were crying. Of course, my dad also cried. He didn't show me, but he cried when I went to college too. Like, my mom was like, yeah, he was crying in the car. Just outed him. So, but I remember he was probably the first person to show me what duality looks like, because I'm used to my mom, and my mom is not somebody who cries in front of people. And I don't think that's because, like, she doesn't want to. I think that's because for so long she was taught, you know, not to show that kind of emotion in front of people and to do that in your private time. And I am somebody who takes that from my mom, and I do not like crying in front of people. It'll happen, but I don't like it. And so, you know, my mom's a lot more reserved. She's a lot more private, and I don't think that's a bad thing. But she's getting to the point now where she's like, okay, I can talk about certain things, and, like, you know, we have open conversations about what she's been through. And, you know, there are tears. But, you know, as much as I'm like, my mom's like my rock, and, you know, like, she's so strong, I'm also realizing that my mom is a human being, and she's made mistakes in her life, and she's been through a lot of things. And I can't just constantly tell her that she's strong, because I'm reinforcing the fact that, like, she has to hide that emotion or that vulnerability away and can't be that open. Like, she's open about, like, her emotions and stuff. I'm not saying that, like, she's not completely cut off, but I can't just keep telling her she's strong and then her thinking that she can never show any kind of rage, because that's the other problem. People say that you're so strong and all this stuff. The other thing that we forget is that when we say that, you know, a lot of times we're talking about black women's reserve. It couldn't have been me. You're so much stronger than me because I would have done da 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 da. First of all, most of the time when people say that, they would not have done that thing in that situation because they would have also had to control their emotions. I'm bad about saying that. Like, I would have done it because in my mind I was like, if it was me and I was that angry, I probably would have done that. However, I also know how I am in stressful situations with people that I just don't want to deal with. So I would probably not acknowledge that because you're not going to get that kind of energy from me. Because no, you don't deserve that kind of energy from me. Like, I could be mad at you and rage at you and, like, you know, curse at you and call you out your name. I'm not going to do that. You don't get to see that side of me. Mostly because that's not really who I am. That's not the type of person. Like, if I am going to tell you about yourself, I'm going to do it eloquently, and you're not going to be able to say anything because I want to pull his receipts. So, as I am the queen of receipts, my boyfriend said last night. And yeah, so I have to stop. Like, and that's why I have these heart-to-hearts and these hard conversations on the podcast, because I want people to understand that I am not perfect. There's still things, like, there are tropes that I have to get over, like telling people, like, the first comment you ever give a woman is that she's beautiful. Don't do that. That's not, like, the first comment. I love telling people that I see something in them. Like, I started this, like, years and years and years ago, when, I don't know if Ashley will ever listen to this, but hey, Ashley, who started Firework People, if you ever listen to this, when she started that, and we were on Twitter, and we were doing all these Twitter chats, I actively sought to give the women in Firework People compliments that were not about their, like, looks, and were not about their business, but were literally about, like, their mind or their soul, like, something deeper, because women don't get complimented on that a lot. Like, the first thing people look at is, oh, she's beautiful, oh, she's thick, oh, she's that, and you're like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not those things, but also, could you reach a little bit? Like, could you reach a little deeper? Like, like, some of my favorite YouTubers, yeah, they're pretty. That's, like, and they do fashion stuff, and they do hair stuff, but I have been following them for as many years as I have. Like, I mean, like, it's a lot of them are, like, 10 plus years. I've been following them for that long, not because they're pretty, not because they have all this luxurious stuff, not because they're strong. I literally have followed them because they are YouTubers that share the vulnerable moments, and they share their life, and they're as open as they want to be. And I think that's such an important thing. Like, you don't have to tell everybody everything. I think, again, another topic for another time, is about, like, fans and how much access fans want to you. And, like, fans, like, constantly asking about this, this, and this when you don't show up. And I think that's one of the problems with putting your relationship online, is that you invite all these people into your relationship, not really realizing it. And then if that relationship falls apart, then you have to deal with all those people asking you questions about what happened. Which is why my relationship's a little bit more private. And I'm not saying that, like, our relationship is going to end anytime soon. But, like, if something were to happen, because, oh, excuse me, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, y'all. I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. It's not that I think the relationship's going to end anytime soon, but I keep it so private because that's the less people that I have to explain if something does happen and if we do not end up together. Like, that's less people I have to have that conversation with, because if it's a really bad breakup or something were to happen, like, really traumatic, like, it's not something that I want to keep explaining to people. You know, I know it'll eventually come up, but there's this access thing with influencers that just is annoying. And yes, a lot of people will say that the influence and stuff, oh, you're so strong, you do it all, da da da, not realizing all the resources they have, not realizing how tired they actually are, or how long it's been since they've had a vacation, or, you know, on vacation, if they're even actually taking a vacation, or are they also working, and, like, having to post stories, and if they ever really get a free moment, like, to completely be free, you know, like, they're, when we call ourselves strong, we are reinforcing whatever that person is doing to give off that perception. Like, that's something that you really have to think about. We are reinforcing that perception. That's all we're doing when we call people strong. And not recognizing the other parts of them. That's all we're doing when we call people beautiful. That's all we're doing when we call people, oh, you're so smart. And not seeing that, like, they have a passion for something else. The movie that does this, it's like, you know, a little cheesy, like, fun, like, movie. And I related to it so much, mostly because I am definitely... Oh no, I forgot her name already. Oh no, the character's name of the movie. I was on Netflix and I watched Work It with Sabrina Carpenter and Liza and... Oh my gosh, what is his name? Y'all, I'm like so bad right now. I haven't had coffee yet. Well, I haven't had my tea yet. There's the Work It movie. Because I'm going to find out. Like, this little movie, Sabrina Carpenter and Liza Koshy and Jordan Fisher. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. I was really having a time. And there's so many good names in there. But you essentially get to see Sabrina Carpenter's character, like, really come to her. She's, you know, high school. And a lot of us have been through this part in high school where, like, you're in high school and you have your heart set on this one college. Mine was Virginia Tech. Hers is Duke. And, like, you're doing everything and you go for an interview or maybe you go to tour the school and, like, you know, you're, like, really pushing for this. And then they tell you you need something else. They're like, oh, by the way, you also need this. It would be nice if you did this. And, like, it kind of spirals because she basically lies in her admissions interview about being on the dance team, and you just need to watch the movie. Like, and it's a very coming of age, coming to terms with, like, realizing that you are more than just this brilliant person who's supposed to go to Duke. Like, you are, you know, maybe a dancer. Maybe there's some hidden talents in you. Maybe you have more passions. You are, like, a great friend, and you make mistakes, and, like, you're not perfect. And, like, she had all these, like, extracurriculars, but she didn't, you know, when she was asked, and it was basically that she was asked, like, what she was passionate about, and she was like, Duke, and then she was like, and the admissions officer was like, honey, that's sad. Like, and I was like, wow, I bet you a lot of, like, students with, like, 4.0 GPAs are, like, around that range that are, like, first year class. Not, I would say more now that might not be the case, but, like, back when I was growing up, that's kind of how it felt like. Like, everybody's just passionate about school and nobody's passionate about anything else, and I don't think that's necessarily true for anybody, but maybe they couldn't show it as well because they need to keep their grades up or whatever to get certain places. Which I'm not saying not work your butt off for, like, school or whatever, but, you know, it's really, you know, it's a good movie, and it's good to see, you know, how everybody's characters come into play and all the different journeys that they're going through. And I was realizing that, like, yeah, this is what I need to talk about tomorrow on the podcast because I need people to understand, like, duality exists in everybody. Like, it's about you embracing this. I had this conversation with my soul sister, Kayla Hollis, about this. I was, oh, excuse me, that's not even her name anymore. Y'all, she just got married. Oh, I'm such a bad friend. Oh, my goodness. I don't think she changed her name on the interwebs. But, you know when you have to start looking up because you're like, what is everybody's last name? I've literally had to keep looking up Mitchell. Kayla Hollis Mitchell, sorry. So, I was like, I can't remember. But she recently got married, but we were having a conversation about duality. And I was explaining to her what I really felt like that meant for me. Because it's... My duality works a little bit differently. Like, I have personified it at this point. Because it's easier for me to separate. And it's easier for me to explain to somebody who really knows me really well, like, what is going on and why I'm acting a certain way. I don't explain this to, obviously, to everybody because, like, I don't have the time, but I'm trying to see if I can find the conversation that we had. Yeah, I think, excuse me. Yeah, because I was telling Kayla, I think I only ever, and this is verbatim what I said, I think I only ever had a problem when I cared what other people thought and was living for other people instead of myself and God. The last few years have been a lot of me unlearning that, and this year has really been been about putting myself first in all areas of my life, which is hard as someone who is so giving. But you cannot pour from an empty cup, and you'll never know the true bliss of your life if you live for everyone else. I firmly believe that. And I firmly believe as long as we keep putting these perceptions on people, whether it's strong or you know, they're so sweet or like they're innocent. I have such a problem with being called a goody two-shoes because A, I'm not. Like maybe growing up a little bit more, but I have a history, y'all, and I have a past, and there's some things that I've done that will probably never see the light of day. And that's fine. And it's not like evil things or anything. It's just things that I don't feel like sharing with people because I know people can't handle people being them full of themselves and having like certain journeys. Y'all ain't ready for the real conversations. At least not in this sense. Now I will say in the Melanin Mode Slack space that we have, that if you go on to our Instagram page in Melanin Mode, we have a link to that and you can join. I will say that I will happily talk about that because we have a bunch of little like private channels where we can have those open discussions, and it's still a very small space. Like there's only like a few of us right now. So if you join, you're joining with people that like you get to cultivate the culture at our in our Slack space, and it's an app. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on your desktop. I love Slack. I've been using it. 5 years with Dream Underneath Way, maybe longer? I may not have been that long, but it feels like it's been like 20 million years. So the other thing I said in this conversation with Kayla, I was like, so duality is my word moving forward, and such a good one because I really had to remind everyone in the household that I exist in two realms at the same time. I am Sid, who is soft, sweet, and gracious, who loves to shower people with affection and host things that bring people together, even if it's just our immediate household. Like, my favorite memories this year, because we've been, you know, stuck in quarantine, but we've created a lot of special memories this year. Like, some of my favorite ones were, like, when we did a seafood boil. Like, when I say we went all out for our seafood boil, like, crab legs, corn, I used vegan sausage, Italy sausage, and I soaked it in, like, the seafood boil. Bro, that stuff was so spicy. But it was so good. I like remember the taste and everything. Like y'all, I'm thinking about it now, and I have to make it again this summer. Cause that'll probably be what I get. Oops, on my next paycheck. and cooking for. There's something else that we cooked for. We did Juneteenth. I don't think that's when we did our seafood boil. But basically, we like celebrated Juneteenth, and we really didn't do anything for July 4th because we were like, F it. If you know the history, you know why, but when I explained it, that's the homemaker in me. That's the giver. That's the person who's going to, like, come out of my way to make sure, like, you feel good and you feel great and, like, that you are self-care. That's the self-care coach. That is the queen of, like, gatherings and, like, hosting people and making people feel loved and welcome. But at the same time, I also exist in the realm as Ray, and I told Kayla, but I'm also Ray, and she's the artist, the mover, the shaker. She's the phoenix, and when she's focused, there's nothing that can stop her. People have a hard time discerning when I'm angry because it looks like I'm mad. Like, 9 times out of 10, I'm focused. If I am mad, you'll know because I'm not, generally when I'm working on my own stuff, I'm not mad unless I'm mad at, like, the technology that I'm using and it's not working the way that I want to. But I'm very focused. I'm very quiet. My answers are very short. And that's why most people think I'm mad. Because I think for them, some of the people that have been mad in their life were quiet and short and, like, you know, But I'm just like, no, I'm focused and you're interrupting my train of thought and I can no longer think because you're still talking to me. So I might get irritated at that point because I'm like, you obviously see that I'm doing something. Unless it's an emergency and somebody is dying, it can probably wait like 10 minutes and I will come see what's wrong. Like, so, and I told Kayla that's why I feel comfortable going by Sydney Ray and don't correct people when they think my full name is Sydney Ray. It's not. That's not my name. That is not my full name. It's not even my middle name. But I said, because I'm both of those women and they don't exist separately from each other. They don't need to. They don't have to. There will be some days where part of me is more dominant, but it doesn't take any bit of who I am. It doesn't make any bit of who I am less than or fake. Of course, I don't explain it to most people like this. People in this household just know something has switched when I have my quote-unquote boss lady face on, as Jonathan calls it, when I'm super focused. But I am trying to be better about explaining that as much as, like, I'm Sydney and the girl that a lot of people grew up with and, like, super sweet and super welcoming and always hanging out with people, I, like, can no longer have that luxury because there's so much stuff that I have to do. And I'm like, I love you, but also, like, you need to catch me, like, 2 weeks prior to this, and then I probably will have time. I do this to my parents. Nobody believes me, but my parents will text me, like, the day before or the day of something. It is very rare that I say to something, like, say yes to something that they text me the day or the day before or 3 days before about, because I've probably already planned my month at that point, and so my weekends are booked. So, I don't know what you want me to do about that. Well, if you can't take the time, and I'm like, if you would have come to me like 2 weeks ago when you were first thinking about this, yeah, sure. Like, my mom just told me about like asking me to come dox it, and I was like, yeah, I can do that. Because she caught me like a month out. I don't know that I would have had the same answer. I mean, I probably would have because most weekends I am working from home, but people, like, want me to, like, come hang out and, like, you know, as safely as possible. And I'm like, I love you, but yeah, no, have fun. Because I have to do this, this, and this. Because if I don't do this, this, and this, it's going to make this take longer, and then I can't really give you the experience that I want to give you. There's a lot of stuff that I want to do for the people that I love, and I'm like, y'all are just gonna have to bear with me through this right now. It's not that I don't care about you, it's not that I don't love you, but the way that I want to give back to you and thank you for all that you've done and all you supported me through and like celebrate our friendships and celebrate your birthdays and all this stuff, in order for me to do it the way that I want to be able to build my first house, to be able to move out preferably with Jonathan next year and like really start building our life together on our own. I have to stick and like buckle down this year. And this is the perfect time to do it because we're in quarantine anyway. So why you keep trying to ask me to come over? I'm like, you know, we all at work, you know, we're exposed to different things. My history of viral infections? No. And so I think that's the beauty of it. It's like, if you want to define the duality in yourself, do it. The reason I did that is because I feel like for me, it's a very clear, even, you know, as even as possible split between my like duality, like how it exists and like the name that I feel like I take when I'm existing that duality. I don't think it's like a whole separate personality and I'm a whole separate person, but I just think, oh, like I like to go like this is how I feel. Like I feel like I'm more like this and I feel like I'm more like this. I'm more in this realm of my existence when I'm that person or when I'm doing those things. Not necessarily that person, but when I'm doing those things, because I don't, like, my voice doesn't change, my tone, like, my, how I talk to people doesn't change. Like, it's not, like, a completely different thing. Like, it's not, like, a trauma-related thing where I'm having to dissociate and, like, have, you know, like, a different personality that copes with things, that does unpack things. Please watch. Y'all, please watch Doom Patrol to see, like, Jane is the most fascinating character to me to see that unpacked. That is, and Diane, I'm gonna butcher her last name, Guerrero. Please tell me if I'm saying her last name right. Y'all, somebody help your girl. Seeing her unpack, she is almost like duality when duality has to exist because of trauma. And what I'm trying to realize is that duality doesn't just have to exist because of trauma. Duality also exists because of, because like no one person is just one thing. Like, yeah, like we all might be known for one thing, but like there's so many human beings are so contradictory. Like the way that we exist, like I promise you, go see what some like the ways that some people like act around like certain things and how they move through the world. And like when they say things and you'll be like, but you just said, but also, but you're doing this, but you said you did what? Like it'll trip you out how we exist, how we can exist as, yeah, you see me as strong, but I was actually being really soft in this moment. And this was really, that was really hard for me. And I don't feel like I was strong in that moment. I feel like I was vulnerable. And for me, vulnerability anyway is not a weakness. So if you're saying strong, I take that. And that's why I'm able to, like, when people say that comment to me, for me, I need people to realize, like, that it is a perception thing and you're reinforcing certain stereotypes. But for me, when people call me strong, I think that in the terms of vulnerability, because that is my strength. I've been vulnerable for the last, like, 8 years of my life. And it has been such a beautiful thing to witness. But I know that that's not, like, everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody is vulnerable. That's not everybody's strength also. Like, we can't say somebody is strong and not define in the ways that they are strong. Because it's going to look different for everybody. And we cannot sit here and say, oh, you're so brave, and not define the way that they're brave and why we think they're brave. Because, again, whole other topic for another whole other episode, we really have to stop calling women bigger women, fat women, plus size women. And the word fat is not taboo. It's not a curse word. It's fine to say, y'all. And that's something else that I had to learn, like, growing up and stuff and realizing that people really don't have a problem. They're like, no, I'm fat. And I'm like, and I have, like, I have a problem with that word because most people around me, when they say that, the way that they're using it and the way that it affects them is very different. So I have to be careful about people around me saying that and me reinforcing that. But if somebody's confident and, like, not really going through the certain things that I think some of the people, like, around me may be going through, like, you know, it's different. It's just different. And that's the other thing I think people should realize. Like, another duality is, like, you can't look at somebody that is bigger than you and be like, oh, they're so unhealthy. Oh, da-da-da-da. Bruh, I am probably the thickest, like, I don't want to say that word. I was going to say a word in young, like, girl, I've ever been in my entire life. No, I take that back. When Jonathan and I are, like, first year or so, or first, like, within our first 2 years of dating, we were both our heaviest we've ever been. We were both miserable. I was living in a really bad apartment, and he was at a terrible job. And, like, we gained so much weight, and we were so depressed. I am thicker than I was when I was younger. I was used to growing up, and I really think this is like a, y'all gonna think I'm crazy because you're like, that does not how that worked. But I promise you, I feel like I prayed for these curves because, because I was so used to being called toothpick and skinny mini and like people telling me they hated me because I was so skinny and thin when I was growing up. Like, and I hated it. I hated the way I looked. But like, I looked like a boy growing up, and I didn't like that for me because I was like, I want to be curvy and I want to, like, be shaped like this, and I feel like I look stupid in these clothes. And like it was, you know, I had body image issues growing up at my thinnest, and a lot of people don't even think about that because they think, well, the girl that I got have body issues, I can be the bigger girl. No, there are plenty of girl thigh gaps and thin girls that are like, I don't really love my body. And again, whole different conversation for a whole other time, because we're going to talk about like body image issues and things that we have to realize. But You know, I'm the thickest that I've ever been in my life, but I'm also like the happiest and most in tune with myself that I've ever been. Now, I'm not exercising the way that I need to, and I'm not doing yoga the way that I need to, and my shoulder knows that I'm not doing yoga the way I need to because this chronic pain is a pain in my ass. But, you know, people can be fat and healthy. I don't know why people can't not understand that. I am literally eating the healthiest I've ever eaten in my life. Like, no, I'm not working out like I was at the beginning of quarantine, but I'm also not like super lethargic. The only reason I am like tired is because I'm working my ass off at my job and then working my ass off when I get home to build my empire. Y'all do realize that, like, I'm, and I don't use the term, fat for me, because I don't, when I think of fat, I don't feel like I fit that category. I'm in this weird middle thing, and I explain this to people when people say, like, you should be a model, and I'm like, y'all do realize that I'd be considered plus size in the modeling industry, right? And I don't think a lot of people realize that. Again, whole other different conversation that we can totally have, like, in the Melanin Mode Slack, or, like, on Instagram, or, you know, like, anywhere, honestly. You see me, like, and we can talk about it. I am like, yeah, no, I'd be considered plus that. I told my boyfriend that, Jonathan, he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, I would be considered plus that in the modeling industry. And I don't even know if I'd completely be considered that, because, like, I feel like a few years ago, I was, like, in that in-between size where I would really fall. Like, I would either have to lose weight to be, like, with all the other girls, or I would have had to gain weight to be with, you know, the plus size, what is considered plus size. Even though the average woman, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is, like, a size 2XL. So, I don't... That's a whole other... But, yeah, you can be fat and healthy. That's another thing about duality. Like, so I am... thick and healthy, thank you, because I'm in this weird in-between phase, which is fine, because my legs are strong. I gotta work on my upper arm strength, because I never have any, so I'm gonna have to start doing planks and all this other stuff, but I also am eating the best I've ever eaten in my entire life. Like, I am constantly cooking, and even if we eat out, like, I'm not eating meat. I don't eat meat anymore, except for, like, the occasional crab, like, any kind of seafood. And that was like once or twice a week, and now it's about once or twice a month. And I kind of flip between that. Like, I'll get a really heavy craving for it when summer starts, like spring starts to end and summer starts. I get a really big craving for seafood, and then it kind of fades away. And then I'm back into eating it like maybe once or twice a month. Duality exists in so many different ways. I need you and everybody else to come to terms with that. Like, we really have to start defining the way that we give compliments. And our compliments need to stop being, like, three words. You are strong. What? Strong about what? What makes us strong? Why would you call me that? What? Can you elaborate? But, yeah, I'm going to let my boyfriend come into the office now, because I know he's probably like, what is she doing? And I was going to make this episode 30 minutes, but y'all know I'm a blabbermouth, and I like to ramble, and I will get on tangents that relate. But there are definite tangents to get me back around to the point. So, yeah. Let me know if you join the Melanin Mode Slack. Let me know what you want to hear on the podcast next. I'm trying to do this every week now, because I'm going through something different in my own existence and, like, reading certain things in my, like, experience with women of color. I could talk about, like, the Red House series next week and the missing girls. I could talk about... you know, all of the resources out there for women of color. I could talk about why trans lives matter and why you need to stop just supporting people who are born with female genitalia. I'll say it that way. So, yeah, because I don't want to say born a woman, because people are going to be like, well, trans people are also born a woman. They just exist in a different body when they're born. Yeah. That's why I said it that way. So I hope you have a great week. I will talk to you next time. You know, like, comment, subscribe. No, I'm kidding, y'all. It's not YouTube. But definitely like this. If you heard the ad earlier and you want to start your own podcast, I definitely recommend it. They're so much fun. I really am going to push to make these episodes shorter, and so I'll probably do a shorter series next week. I'm just going to have to figure out, like, what I want to talk about. Yeah, I'm super excited to keep doing these. Y'all make it really fun, and it gives me an outlet that I get to talk about these experiences, because it's just different for me, and I think one of these days, I will get into the topic of interracial dating, because I date somebody who doesn't look like me, and who doesn't know my culture, and who didn't have my same experience. So yeah, talk to you guys next time.